everybody. This is Brett. The idea here was to make a 5 to 10 minute audio post with a couple of announcements in it. The first announcement is about some travel plans, and the second announcement is there is no new podcast content this week, and I wanted to explain that, and I also didn't want a whole week to go by without you hearing from me. But there are new bonus shows, and you're going to get some fun audio as soon as I'm done with these announcements. Bonus shows. The first one was a review of the Childish Gambino video, This Is America. I put that up yesterday. And tomorrow or Saturday, I'm going to put up a show called The State of STEM. STEM, of course, stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics. It is the thing that is going to save our public schools, don't you know? I have a friend who works in educational technology. He recently went to a STEM conference and even wound up being a judge in some of their competitions, including one competition called Prepared Presentations, where high school students of today spoke on the topic, The Future is Ours. So you will hear him report in from the field and share his notes from this competition. What are the high school students of today, people like David Hogue, planning for us in the future? You'll want to hear that. You'll need to get ready. Your life is going to change if they get their way. So those two bonus shows will be up by the end of the weekend. I will promo them at the end of the month. I have actually been trying to chase down Peg Luxick. You might remember Peg from the viral VHS to YouTube video, Who Controls Our Children? We devoted quite a bit of time on the show to this a few years back when we were talking about outcomes-based education. That's back in the news right where I am in Pennsylvania. So I was trying to get Peg on the show, and I'm currently researching some developments, and I'm going to be doing a small series on that in the near future. So that's one of two reasons there is no new podcast this week. The other reason is I am planning to travel back to New Hampshire tomorrow. On the way back, I will be stopping in Connecticut to see my friends Rich and Lisa. I will be stopping in Philadelphia. I will be stopping in central Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, Columbus, Ohio, and by the third week in June, I will be arriving in the Detroit area for the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. I am a speaker there. They got me a cabin, so if you're attending, come knock on my cabin door and we'll do a podcast. I can't wait to see you or meet you for the first time. I'm real excited about that. So it's going to be a gradual trip from New Hampshire all the way out to Detroit over the course of about a month. And I just wanted you to know the areas I'll be passing through along the way and spending some time. Now, tomorrow, we have a new Star Wars movie coming out. It's called Solo. It stars Chewbacca, Childish Gambino, and another guy. I have lots of audio and video in the bonus content section at schoolsucksproject.com devoted to Star Wars. And every once in a while, I like to do one of these free AV shows where I give you a sample of the content that supporters get. So we are going to travel first back to the end of 2016. It was shortly after the release of the first Star Wars story movie, Rogue One, and Brian Sovereign from Sovereign Tech and Sex and Science Hour and Stephanie Murphy from Sex and Science Hour and Let's Talk Bitcoin joined me in my studio. And we not only talked about Rogue One and why we thought it was great, but we also talked about the best order in which to view the Star Wars films, and we also rank the Star Wars films from worst to best. I love this conversation, and I'm excited that thousands of people will now get to hear it for the first time. Then we will travel back to the year 2012, shortly after the announcement that Disney was taking over the Star Wars franchise. This is a After School Sucks special. You might remember that in 2012 and 2013, we actually did a live show on the radio from 10 p.m. to midnight. Then at midnight, we would switch formats into what was called the After School Sucks special, which was more of a hangout comedy kind of show. And we would talk mostly about pop culture and even sillier things. So in that audio, Corey Osborne and I will speculate in a less than half serious way about what the plot of Star Wars Episode 7 will be. Now, Star Wars Episode 7 was 3 years away at that time, and it's hard to believe that it came and went 2.5 years ago. If you're enjoying that conversation, I highly recommend visiting the show notes at schoolsucksproject.com to watch a video that I made. It's called Star Wars Episode 7, The Plot. And I did this sort of cutout animation video that really brings to life the Star Wars movie that I wanted to see. It's got Luke, it's got Leia, it's got Han and Chewie, it's got the Jackafosaurs from South Park. Wait till you see how they fit in. And like I said, that video is embedded in the show notes for this episode. So is that everything? Number one, you get 2 new bonus shows if you support us either on Patreon, patreon.com/schoolsucks to do that, or as a member of the AV Club, you go to schoolsucksproject.com/AV to do that. One bonus show is a review of the Lando Calrissian video, This is America, and the second bonus show, which will be coming out tomorrow or Saturday, is The State of STEM, a report from the field. And I think that's a fun one and terrifying. Item number two, I'm back researching outcomes-based education. Even 25 years after the Peg Luxick video, Who Controls Our Children, it's back in the news. This is about using school to produce attitude outcomes in students. If you want to learn more about this, you can go back and check out episode 152 of School Sucks Podcast. It's called Behaviorism in Disguise, Outcome-Based Education. Item number three, travel. I'm headed to New Hampshire. I'll be there by Saturday. I'm about 7 hours from there right now. I will be there for a week. After that, I will be in the Hartford, Connecticut area. After that, Philadelphia. After that, Central Pennsylvania. After that, Pittsburgh, then Columbus. And then by June 20th, I will be in Michigan for the Midwest Peace and Liberty Festival. Hope to see you there. So that's it. Let's get right to today's presentation. The first audio that runs about an hour is me, Stephanie, and Brian talking about Rogue One, the Star Wars Order, and what are the best and worst Star Wars films, along with a bunch of other fun tangents. And then after that, you'll get about 25 minutes of me, Corey, and Osborne planning Episode 7. Spoiler alert, it did not work out the way we envisioned. Thanks for listening, everybody, and take care.
When Star Wars starts, it's like, hey, shh, black screen. Star Wars, motherfuckers. Right, yeah. You know?
I thought with the arrival of a new Star Wars movie, it might be worth discussing a more enjoyable order or a more sensible order to show people these movies in. And I thought until last night that I had discovered one, but I realized that was much too hasty to say, okay, this it will be Rogue One, 4, 5, and then 6. I had an idea, but isn't there some kind of debate about this in Nerdland?
Yeah, there's the Machete Order.
How does that go?
That's 4, 5, 2, 3, 6.
Okay, and what's the thinking behind that? So you don't get the spoil that...
Well, so you don't watch one.
Okay. Like
that's the most important thing, is that you don't watch one, which I disagree with, but whatever. I think the idea pretty much is that when you find out in 5 that, you know, spoiler alert, Vader is Luke's father.
Yeah. oh I know, they God. Don't look anything alike. Yeah, right. Amazing.
But that you go back to find out, like, oh, is this really, and what's his backstory? And, you know, it ends off nicely with, you know, in episode 3 where you see Luke and Leia being birthed. And I don't know exactly how I feel about that, because then that kind of kills the other reveal in episode 6, which is that Leia is, again, spoiler alert, Luke's sister.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, if you watch episode 3, you know that going into Return of the Jedi. I mean, I guess it doesn't take but maybe 42 minutes, you know, to find that out.
Right.
Maybe 41. But that still seems like, I still find that problematic.
I didn't really find that reveal that interesting.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, well, I found out in 1982, so well, I was like, they kissed once, they Frenched. But I was 5, so I was like, you know, I didn't have a sister, so I didn't know what the boundaries were.
But that's what's weird, right? I mean, it's like, wait a second. These two were just, you know, sucking face in episode 5. Like, what's happening here?
So this machete order makes sense because, like, when people, I guess the other debate would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or the other side of that debate would be like, watch them sequentially.
Yeah.
You've seen all the movies, right? You're not a big Star Wars fan.
I mean, I'm just not going to hold back. I really hate Star Wars.
Hate it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think it's dumb. It doesn't really seem to have any like overarching theme or like moral message that jumps out. It's confusing. It has too many characters and too much going on to really understand. I get at the time in the 70s, the special effects were like really amazing and it was like a beautiful movie that was really well produced. Mm-hmm. But I think that's the biggest thing it has going for it. And now there's plenty of other movies that have great production and great effects. And I just think it's stupid, especially compared with Star Trek, which is so good because it's consistent. The characters are consistently developed. It has consistency throughout the universe with different Star Trek shows. It tries to be somewhat scientifically accurate. It did like predict the use of smartphones and touch screens and all this kind of stuff. So, I don't know. Star Wars just pales in comparison. I always had so much trouble following. I've tried to watch Star Wars a few times, mm-hmm. and I've always just had trouble following like what was going on. There just seemed to be like so many characters and like, okay, what's their story? Where do they come from? What's this new planet? What is this? Why do people look like that? You know, what are these alien things? There's so many different types of aliens. They look all weird. And there's just no background on each. And then on top of all that confusion, there's the added confusion of it's a trilogy of trilogies and we're starting in the middle. So it's a confusing story to begin with, but you're also starting in the middle of the story. And then you go back to the beginning and we don't know what the ending is yet. And it just seems so clear to me that like George Lucas had no fucking idea where it was. Can I say fuck on here?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
He had no idea what he was doing. Like he didn't know what was going to, he didn't pre-plan out the whole thing. He didn't even know where he was going. It's like he just started driving somewhere, but he didn't know where he was driving.
It sounds like you understand Star Wars perfectly.
Yeah.
Because that's what happened. I mean, that was the story, right? And he went to Fox and he said, you want to see my movie? Yeah. And they said, this is retarded. This is the stupidest thing. We're going to get laughed out of town.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it took a lot of work with like a lot of talented people coming in, bringing in John Williams, bringing in editors.
And having Francis Ford Coppola vouch for him, saying, you know, look, trust this guy. And that's how he ended up getting $10 million to make it.
I mean, he made a couple good movies before Star Wars, like interesting movies, like very different movies. The American Graffiti and the sci-fi.
THX 1138.
Yeah, the dystopian movie with Robert Duvall. So he was a talented filmmaker, but like, I think Star Wars was too complex for anybody at that time.
Good, I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Well, I mean, to make it, you know, like and then he didn't direct the other movies, but then he directed all the prequel movies, and you can see that he's actually not a very good director. He's somebody who got lucky a few times. Mm. And that's the problem with, you know, when I was saying like, debating the order in which they should be watched. Watching them sequentially makes no sense because unless you are a huge Star Wars fan, that story sucks. It's like, why would I care about this shitty kid?
Well,
you know,
right.
And all these people. And it's like that story is so poorly told compared to definitely the storytelling in 4, 5, and 6 that, I mean, those movies are watchable, I think, but you're not invested in the characters. And like, I could imagine watching those first three and being like, I don't even care what happens next.
Right.
You know?
Well, I did. I mean, so when Stephanie first watched them, we watched them together, but I was like, okay, we're going to go 4, 5, 6, and then we'll do 1, 2, 3.
Right. Yeah.
And that was the
idea.
We
never got to 3.
And, well, never, like, didn't even finish 2. Yeah. Like, eventually we were in 2 and they're on Coruscant and she's just like, no, I can't do this anymore. And so.
Which one was Coruscant?
Coruscant, that's the Imperial homeworld, the planet.
Oh,
that was in episode 2 in Attack of the Clones when they're doing that like chase scene
through the factory.
No, that's at the end. This is at the beginning when they're going after Jango Fett and or not Jango, but the shapeshifting bounty hunter there.
Oh yeah, fuck that.
Yeah.
So, jeez, okay.
I gave it the old college try, but
yeah.
Now you liked 4, 5, and 6, like, or at least you're like, okay, yeah, I get it.
I was really trying to get into it. I was giving it a fair chance, but. Yeah. I mean, 4, 5, and 6, I could see the coolness of, like, how they were produced and stuff. The filmmaking was great, especially for the time.
Yeah.
But there were other problems, too. I mean, that rapey, weird Leia and Han Solo thing where she's like, no, I hate you, don't kiss me. And she's pinned up against the wall and he's like, you know, you want me. And he kisses her and then she likes it. Like, that is so fucked up.
I described the characters because I took someone to see their first full Star Wars movie last night.
E.
And I said, the characters, a word I would use, I don't know if it's a real word, it certainly could be, is archetypical.
Yeah, I think that's a word.
Okay, because they're very clear archetypes, like right out of Joseph Campbell's hero's journey.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're just so typical. You know,
yeah.
Like the bad swashbuckler is, you know, grabbing the girl and right. Doesn't believe in the mission and thinks the old man is crazy. And the old man grabs the young, naive boy and brings him on the adventure. Will he rescue the princess in the end? Who knows?
Right.
You know,
why do they still have princesses in the future? Like, what is that?
Well, that's a problem with all science fiction. That's just crazy. Like the idea that there would even be governments or anything.
And what was she the princess of?
Right.
Alderaan.
Why?
Well, exactly.
Her dad was the senator.
Well, so, it's a constitutional monarchy.
God
so
damn it.
That's yeah, somewhat hereditary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, well, keep going if you have more you want to.
I thought I could start with Rogue One.
You'd think it'd be a great start because it's like, other than Episode One, it's kind of the first one, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I thought that, like, when you see Star Wars, and you don't understand, like, you know, like the Death Star is a bad thing because you see it blow up Alderaan. And clearly everyone on there is bad and unlikable. And you get the Empire. You pick all this up in the story. It's all, you know, made explicit for you. But the whole part about, like, how many quadrillion dollars would this thing cost to build, you know? And there, you can shoot a laser in one spot and blow the whole thing up. You know, so in Rogue One, that's actually explained. And I think that the mission to destroy the Death Star in Star Wars becomes much more meaningful. So we go to the 3:30 matinee, and it was because it was like below zero and we had to go to the grocery store after. So we couldn't go to the night show. So we had to see it in 3D, which is never my choice.
Yeah.
Does it make you dizzy?
No, it's just, it's like, it's hard to follow visually. Like some, it's just disorienting.
Yeah.
And
I found it disorienting without seeing it in 3D.
So. Yeah. I really didn't care for the 3D experience. Mm. So 5:45, we walk out and I'm just, you know, like my review title is like the first third is, I don't know, whatever, but.
Yeah.
Stick around if you don't mind some cream in your jeans, you know, like it really delivered, I thought, in the end.
Yeah.
And I just thought like the last where you know, like it becomes increasingly familiar and it's connecting you in all the ways you want to see Star Wars look and feel, just with like a kind of energy and a closeness that they didn't have the capability to do. In the original movies, like everything looks kind of like the special effects are really cool in the original movie, but everything looks just far away and not so immersive.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, it starts as this distant story and then it just becomes more and more and more like, oh my God, this is very, very familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And
we should say, just for people who are maybe haven't seen it yet or aren't so familiar with Rogue One, takes place before Episode 4.
Right.
Before, well, what's the title of episode?
A New Hope.
A New Hope. Right. Okay, so Rogue One takes place between Episode 3 and 4, I guess you could say, but closer to 4.
very close to four. Yeah.
At the end of Rogue One, it leads into Episode Four. And the plot is, in the opening crawl of Episode Four, it says like a group of rebels stole the plans for the Death Star or something like that. And that's how Princess Leia got the map. And this movie, Rogue One, is telling you how the group of rebels got those plans.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree, Brett. It was very Star Wars-y in the look and feel. Like, it definitely, Star Wars definitely has its own aesthetic, I guess. Like, you could, I think you could walk in the middle of the movie and tell that it was a Star Wars movie, but you couldn't necessarily tell what was going on. And I just felt like you had to be a huge Star Wars geek and a total fan to know what was going on. Also, it definitely had a Disney feel to me, like with the female lead. And also, like, at the very end, you know, she sort of has this love interest, but they don't even kiss. Mm. They just, like, save the world. There's no kiss even. They hold hands. It's like, ooh, okay, this is a Disney movie.
Well, they were about to die.
I guess, but why not go for
broke,
right? I know
what I'm doing if I'm about to die.
Yeah, exactly. Live it
well,
up.
Well, I mean, yeah. You see the horizon, like, folding over on top of you, and it's like death plus blue balls. You know? Like, all you're going to get is a smooch.
Yeah.
So obviously there's spoilers in our review of this here.
Oh, shit. Oh, fuck. Sorry. Well, I think we're not saying who, but people die. And I'll say who.
Well,
in Star Wars, they say many people died to bring us this, you know.
Well, that was Return of the Jedi, but yeah.
Oh,
when
shit.
When Mon Mothma says, you know, many Bothans died to bring us this information.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I thought that was Star Wars.
That's all right. Well, you know, but this is the thing. This is actually one of the critiques I have of it, is that this movie really felt like Return of the Jedi, like big time. Like spoiler alerts, they use a stolen Imperial shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
They have to take the shield down on this planet. Like right even to, bigger spoiler alert, the Star Destroyer's like crashing down. That's exactly what the Executor did in Return of the Jedi. It crashes right into the Death Star.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, that reminded me of that, too. I wasn't, like, putting the pieces together of exactly how you said it, but, yeah, it was reminiscent.
I mean, in the giant space battle, I mean, and you had Admiral Raddus, who was on one of the, you know, Mon Calamari frigates.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he pretty much was, I mean, he literally is the same species as Admiral Akbar, and he pretty much did everything save, say, it's a trap, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, he was the...
The fish guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and it was so much the same thing. As Return, which wouldn't be out of place because, I mean, what's one of the biggest critiques of The Force Awakens is that
it's Star Wars.
It just redone.
Yeah.
And I really felt like this movie very much, like even the squad-based tactics and everything going on, very much felt like Return
of the ground going on the ground. Yeah. A lot of similarity.
Those robot,
there
those things that were walking, what are those called?
Oh, it depends on which one. There was AT-STs. They were the ones, the two-legged ones are AT-STs. Though actually the ones in this might not have been AT-STs. But anyway, the four-legged ones are not the AT-ATs from The Empire Strikes Back. These are AT-ACTs.
You have to be a Star Wars geek to understand what's going on. But
how do you know the difference?
Well, I mean, with these, the only way you know is they have like the yellow cargo hold sides instead of the complete gray like you see in The Empire Strikes Back.
And you're saying you didn't notice.
I had seen them before in Return of the Jedi.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The walkers. I mean,
the
Imperial
walkers.
Walkers.
That shoot at
yeah,
people.
Imperial
yeah.
walkers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bunch
that's
of different
right.
kinds.
So I think that, yeah, that's part of the production design of these films is that they want to create reminders. They want to create like emotional attachments to the original
nostalgia.
Movies.
Yep.
Yeah, but that's going to lose its effect quickly. I mean, I actually already think like they just came out with Episode 7 last year.
Yeah.
And then this year, a year later, they came out with Rogue One, and then supposedly next year is going to be Episode 8, right?
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, that's a pretty breakneck production schedule, and I mean, people had to wait, what was it, 15 years for Episode 7?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and before that, they had to wait 15 years for Episode 1, so, or maybe more.
Right. Well, no one even knew. I think at one point, no one expected there to be an Episode 7.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
We thought it was over.
Yeah. Yep. So, I don't know, people, they were... I think they appreciated Episode 7 more because it was in the original trilogies. It was part of the story, the core story. It wasn't like an offshoot tangent story. And because they waited so long for it and they didn't think it was ever going to come true, but it happened. And I don't know. I just think if they try to put out a movie every single year, it's going to like lose its... I don't know. Do you hear what I'm saying? Like it's going to not... be so special if they put one out every year and they keep doing these side tangents and these side stories And it's kind of brilliant because it could go on forever. They've got people hooked. They have people who grew up watching 4, 5, 6. Mm-hmm. So they love Star Wars and they have this nostalgia for it. And they're like, ooh, we can play off those people by releasing new movies in this Star Wars universe. But yeah. because it has no real story, or it doesn't know where it's going, or it has no real theme, it's just kind of these warring factions that go back and forth and fight with each other forever. Like, it's never going to come to a close. And it could, there could be, you know, after 7, 8, 9, there could be 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. It could just keep going.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, there could be negative. You could go the other way too. Yeah. Like negative 10, 3. 20, 30. I mean, this thing goes back like thousands right. of years.
Well, that's the thing. That's why I don't think it's going to get old, is because you have entire time frames. I mean, you literally have thousands of years.
It's a universe.
And so I think, like, unlike the Marvel movies, where I think with the Marvel movies, people are tired of them, and rightly so, because they're all the same. But
and they got a ways to go.
Yeah. But I mean, the other part is that they have a very tight time frame that they have to exist within today. Like, they don't really have the option. I mean, they can, you know, like Fox did, not, you know, the X-Men movies, they had them take place in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. But you really only have so far you can go as yeah. far as, you know, it has to be modern for it to appeal to enough people to where you can justify the budgets being spent on making these comic book movies. And I'm a huge comic book fan, but I can't stand most of these films. But, you know, Star Wars, I think you can just run the gamut. You can do all different time frames. You can do the far future. You can do the far past. And I think you could keep refreshing and appealing to people.
Yeah,
but I agree.
There
is a point where it can be too much. Like, I understand
yeah.
that. But
yeah, I think it's already too much. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, like, I went and saw episode 7, mm-hmm. and I was like, that was great.
Yeah.
But it was kind of also just okay. You know, like, that was my feeling about it.
But like, it was going to be great no matter what, because it was like you were so excited you'd waited 15 years.
Well, or it couldn't be great because the anticipation was such mm-hmm. that, you know, like, can a Star Wars movie now not be disappointing on some level?
Right.
Because it's like another Star Wars movie, right? Right? Like, I mean, my experience was listen to this order that I was exposed to by my dad.
Oof.
He said, do you want to go see this space movie? I said, yeah. And it was Return of the Jedi.
Ooh,
and we're driving home, and he was like, what'd you think? I was like, that was fucking awesome. He's like, there's two more of them. And I was like, sweet. You know, when are they coming? He's like, oh, they already happened. And so, because there was no way to see Star Wars. But then I think he thought I was like too young. Because I was only like 4 or 5 mm-hmm. when The Return of the Jedi came out. So I think he thought I was too young for Empire because it's kind of darker.
Yeah, yeah.
So I saw Star Wars. Now, I could be wrong. I could have seen Star Wars like as a re-release and then Return of the Jedi. That could have been a possibility. But I didn't see Empire until like years later, mm-hmm. until like maybe I was like 7 or 8. So that's the most fucked order there is.
Yeah, that's pretty screwy.
And then what about the first 1, 2, and 3. When did you see those?
I was working in a video store and I was in college when episode 1 came out. Everybody was like a film geek, and they're like, they came into work like it was basically the September 12th, 2001 of movies.
Okay. Oh,
wow. People just looked hollow and they're like, it was so bad. I couldn't believe how bad I feel.
Well, there was so much
betrayed.
Hype.
Betrayed, yeah.
I mean, this that episode 1 had so much hype. Nothing could live up to that.
Like, no.
You know, there's no way you could really match the expectation. So, I mean, with episode 1, you know, for me, I saw it twice the same day.
Yeah.
And the second time was like the first time I was like, you know, my friends and I were all thinking, yeah, well, what do we think about this? Like, this is strange. But then second time around, oh, yeah, okay, no, this is good. But that's a very unique experience to have.
Well, you know, I remember I went to see it in the movie theater when I was like in high school when episode 1 came out, and I hadn't seen Star Wars before that. So I tried to watch like the, you know, 4, 5, and 6 before seeing episode 1, but I couldn't really follow it. And so then when I went to see episode 1, all I really remember is people waiting in line at the movie theater and dressed up as the characters. Mm-hmm. Like, people were in costumes. They were so excited for this movie. They got dressed up and there was a line out the door at the movie theater. And the energy was just so like intense about it. Like, everyone was just so excited. And then I remember watching the movie and just, I don't know, not being that impressed, but I felt like I was the only one that like everyone else was thought it was so good, and I was the only loser who like didn't get it.
Interesting.
Yeah, but I did also go see it with a bunch of high school kids, so yeah.
Well,
After that review.
After that, people were like, oh my God, did you see this Jar Jar?
Yeah. Like, it was a real betrayal.
Yeah.
I felt. And it just wasn't like the thing that Disney has done well is these kind of callbacks or these reminders, mm-hmm. Whether they're emotional, whether they're in the plot, whether they're in the visuals. There were a lot of them in both these Star Wars movies we've seen. This was just like some, what is this? Like, it's just all you see. It's like a kid's video game when lightsabers pop up, you know, and like, oh, yeah, like in Star Wars, lightsabers. It was just completely. And I never like the asynchronicity of the or the a the anachronistic nature of the technology, you know,
yeah,
is never really explained sufficiently.
With episode one, you mean?
With all three of those episodes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like, where does that world go in 4 or 5? And I understand
right. Why does everything look nicer then than in the future?
And obviously, maybe that's like the downfall of a republic.
Sure.
That's one way to explain it. But it's just really, it's like the look isn't consistent. And mm-hmm. that's like Disney's done a really good job honoring that look. I think much to George Lucas's chagrin. I don't think he wants.
He's not happy.
No.
Yeah. I mean, you can kind of tell that he's really not happy with how things are going.
Right.
Wow. Well, he's got to let it go, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that's a shame because, I mean, it's these movies are far and away so much better than what he did.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm already putting Rogue One really at my number three slot.
Oh, this is what I wanted to get to.
Yeah.
Well, before we do the ranking, Brian thinks that Episode One is the most libertarian of all the movies. Maybe you could talk about that.
Oh, it is. It absolutely is. I mean, but, you know, the Jedi are the fascists. I mean, it's the Trade Federation. They're trying to avoid taxes. Like, the whole movie is about taxes and, you know, it's a very anti-tax film. I mean, and you know, you're dealing with this ancient, you know, monarchy that, like, you know, represented in, you know, Queen Amidala.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're just, yeah, you're really confronted with the fact that that movie, you know, the Nemodians and were the real heroes here, in that they were trying to, you know, really get free from this oppressed republic. And they were tired of paying all these crazy taxes. And so they were doing the boycott. I mean, it's the Boston Tea Party in space. Like, that's really
nice.
Movie.
I like that.
You know, but nobody else sees it that way. Yeah, it's a. Yeah.
Well, there's echoes of the American Revolution in the original trilogy.
Sure.
Too,
sure.
Obviously.
I have fun with episode one because I'm like the only person that enjoys it. So I keep coming up with all these different rationalizations, even though it has huge problems. Like, I have no issue admitting that.
Has anyone ever done a fan edit of the prequels where they take out every stupid, unnecessary thing, like all the bad dialogue, even if they have to overdub it with the built-in microphone on their laptop? I'll take it. I'll take it. To create some kind of, like, if you do want the pre-story, here's a less cringy version of it. Something like that exists?
Yeah, there's a few of these. There's what's called the Phantom Edit. That's a very popular one for episode one.
Did we not watch that?
Because it's not. I don't know. I'm a creator. Like, I appreciate what creators go through and what they're trying to say. So I still love George. But there's that. There's some other ones, and some of them do really clever tricks. Like, the best thing is when they, with, like I mentioned, the Nemodians. These are these gray aliens that are in control of all the you know, the Trade Federation robots. You know,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
All the battle droids. And normally they sound like some kind of terribly racist Japanese, you know, impersonation. Where it's like, oh, what, go down there, you know, like, just this really bad. And they changed it all to where it just sounds like these kind of almost mechanical squeaks. And they put in these, like, alien lettered subtitles in episode one and anytime the Nemodians are in the prequel trilogy. And it really worked. I saw that. I was like, that's the one thing. If George would change one thing, if he'd do a special edition of these movies, I wish he would make the Nemodians talk like that, where it's all subtitles and they just sound like totally alien.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do things to make these movies a lot better. It's true.
Yeah, and that's actually something that George Lucas seems like he doesn't really mind.
He does it himself. Yeah.
Yeah. he remakes his own. He does, like, his own fan edits.
Well, I mean, he does the special edition. I mean, where he changes his stuff nonstop.
Oh shit! Yeah, that's right.
I mean, he even adds in, you know, Vader saying no, you know, at the end of Return of the Jedi and all that. So yeah, he'll add anything. You know, so I. That's why I'm actually impressed that Lucasfilm or Disney or whoever is really in charge at the time has never gone after these fan edits. Because, I mean, if they took me to court over doing it, I'd walk right in there and say, you get the director in here right now because he did it. You know, and That's how I'd feel about it.
Sure. Yeah. So there's a lot of paths to go down.
Well,
not
well, we could do Brian's ranking. I interrupted you on that.
Oh, that's all right. Well, I mean, if you want to do rankings,
yeah, I'm interested in your. I'm interested in your ranking. Can I guess what your ranking is?
You could try. Yeah.
Okay. So your.
Are we gonna do all eight?
Yeah, we'll do all eight.
All right.
I'm thinking that your. See, you're number one. You're going to surprise me because you're surprising. So it's probably. I would normally say Empire, but I think I'm going to say Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, that's absolutely number one for so many reasons. And I get tired, and I had to talk about this on my own show, Sovereign Tech, today. Mm-hmm. I get tired of people talking about the Ewoks like it's some kind of childhood thing. Because, I mean, I don't know what movie everybody else saw, but they were literally cooking humans, and they were going to eat them. I mean, they had Han Solo on the spit roast.
Yeah.
These are bad dudes. These are not Care Bears.
Right.
And so, like, I just, you know, everybody's like, well, how could they beat the Empire? It's like, do you understand? They eat human flesh.
Yeah.
Like, these are some badass creatures. So I have no problem with that, with the Ewoks. They don't take anything away from the movie. In fact, I kind of like the message that beware of the cute and cuddly because they'll eat you alive. And,
Yeah. South Park did a good job with that. They the little furry friends or whatever, and they were all like axe murderers. They're like
that.
Little children's like furry friends. They lived in a forest and then they would kill people.
So yeah, Return of the Jedi, definitely the best.
And then Empire?
Yep.
And then Rogue One.
Yeah, then I'll give it to Rogue One. But, you know, I have to say, like, if you don't, I really feel like if you're not a super fan, you know, like Rogue One is just, it doesn't make any sense. And they dropped the ball when they didn't put in the opening crawl.
That's what. So, like I said, I took somebody to see the movie, the first Star Wars theater experience. And it, you know, I mean, usually, where would you have to go to find such a person?
Right.
You know,
I had to go to New Hampshire.
Yeah, exactly. So we're driving there, and I'm like, I know you've seen things, right? Like you were a kid and TV, and this was like, oh, there's Star Wars on TV. Back after this, but this is going to be an experience. I was like, we are going to sit down in this theater, and it is going to say in blue letters. It's going to come up maybe like Futura regular. I don't know the font. It's going to say a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And then it's just going to go bam, like this. And it's going to be so great. And everyone's going to cheer.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And we get to the theater. And it says like the movie finally starts. After I couldn't believe how many goddamn commercials.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like watching TV.
Yeah.
But with no show.
Yeah.
It's just because we got there early. I mean, the weather was bad. I didn't even know if we were going to get seats.
Right.
You know? So theater was half full. People applauded at the end, but there was no cheering at the beginning, which disappointed me.
Yep.
But there was no like cue to cheer.
Yeah.
Because it says a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, and I said, here it comes. And then it just cuts, then the movie just starts.
Yeah. They fucked it up.
And there was no crawl.
No crawl. And this movie needed a fucking crawl. Like, because really, I mean, I am like I can't even begin to describe how crazy I am about Star Wars.
My friend said she thought it was episode 8, and she like nudged her partner during the movie and said, like, what happened to all the characters from the last movie?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You really
like, nobody had a clue what was going on.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you really needed a crawl to explain so much of where this was happening, when it was happening, what was going on, what the hell are kyber crystals? I mean, like, there's a bunch of things that it should have said. I mean, me, you know, I read they released a prequel book called Catalyst, Rogue One Catalyst, and that explained the whole story. So, I mean, you know, I knew the whole deal. But, yeah, I mean, they completely dropped the ball with not doing that. And then, boy, talk about fonts. I mean, when they finally came up with the title track, well, what did they make that, an iMovie? Like,
that's what I said. I said that on the way home. I said, did you see that outline font?
What,
like, why wouldn't they just use
the
Star Wars fucking font?
I mean, it was a bad font.
No wonder George Lucas is pissed.
Well, he apparently kind of liked this one. But yeah, I don't know. Whatever. But like that was dumb. Like, what was it? 5 seconds? It said the name Rogue One. And in that. I mean, okay, you want to use a different font? Use a different font, but what the fuck was that?
And it wasn't even, it was in yellow.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even like they didn't even use any like opacity or anything. So like it's in this like multicolored background. It doesn't even show up right. Like,
yeah.
It's like when Star Wars starts, it's like, hey, shh, black screen. Bah! Star Wars, motherfuckers.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And this was just like, I don't know why they would do that. Like, title sequences are really important. And especially in these movies, like, I mean, what other movie had such an important title sequence? 2001: A Space Odyssey. I mean, maybe. I'm sure that there's there was only one of those. You know, this was. I think it needed that. And so right then, I know, like, I'm losing Amy already.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, sorry, but I did explain to her.
I wish she was here right now because I'd love to talk to her about it.
Yeah. So at the end of the movie, right, she's kind of like reeling the same way I am, right? She's like, wow, that was really cool.
Yeah.
We're walking out and she's like, and some of the shots were just really, really beautiful. And, you know, I like the explosions. And because she's like very, you know, she's a book person. She doesn't even really like movies that much. She reads a lot. And she's like, I'm not into aliens and science fiction. Like, it's just not her genre.
Sure.
Like, we've watched Game of Thrones. She likes that. We watched The Sopranos. We've watched a bunch of shows. And I've had her watch a lot of movies, like all Scorsese and all the Kubrick and all the Nolan stuff. I figure that's like a good, like, film enthusiast.
Good. Yeah.
Film enthusiast starter pack. Nolan, Scorsese, Kubrick. That's like a good way to get somebody on the right track towards like an enjoyment of films, I say. So, but she's like, this just isn't really, like, I couldn't get her to watch Star Trek, I don't think.
Yeah.
Because I've thought about, like, maybe Farscape would be good.
Uh-huh.
You know, Farscape is a good kind of, Farscape is like sci-fi foreplay, kind of.
Yeah, and it's got good comedy.
Yeah,
it's not too serious.
It's sexy.
It's very sexy.
It's sexy. Have you seen Farscape?
No, I've never seen it, but you're doing a good job of selling me on it. Now I want to see it.
I have all the seasons.
Let's watch it.
There's lots of like interspecial.
Ooh, I like interspecial things.
Yeah, and it works. It's like, hey, you're what's the word I'm looking for?
Not a plant.
Oh, shit, that's right. I was going to say.
Brett has a plant girl fantasy.
You're a bipedal locomotive carbon-based hominid, and so am I. Yeah. You know, let's fuck. Yeah. But in this case, one of them was a plant.
It's a vegetable, yeah.
But pretty hot for a plant.
Yeah, very hot.
Yeah, but except that there was the spores time.
Yeah, well.
Well, anyway.
You guys have clearly never had to deal with having sex with a man. You're worried about spores getting all over you.
Win.
So I feel like I'm losing her right at the beginning of the movie, but then when it ends, I mean, I don't want
to
say...
The last scene was the best part to me.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was really amazing.
I liked it.
And there were a lot of I think she knew enough about the original story to be like, okay, look at this now. Like, look at the Death Star from this angle.
Mm-hmm.
Neat, you know?
Yeah.
It was very, like, a lot of really cool stuff. So the movie ends. She's really excited. I say, do you know what I think we should do? Because I said, you are my kind of my guinea pig to see if my new order works. And I said, you know what we should do next? You know what I said we should do next?
Watch episode 4.
Yes.
Yeah.
I said we should go home and watch episode 4.
Did you?
And since you caught the matinee, you could.
So, yeah. So we get home. I make dinner. I make burger pile. It's like a burger without a bun.
Oh, no, it's like shepherd's pie without any crust.
It's a burger.
Oh, okay.
Cheese. I put the cheese inside the burger. Then some, you know, onions.
You'll just have to make
it
for me. We'll find out.
Bacon, avocado slices. And then I think some kale chips. And we go and we sit down. Computer in the TV room.
Yeah.
Which runs the entertainment system.
Yeah,
blue screen of death.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
And I mean like a real blue screen of death. Not like the recoverable blue screen of like, oh, blue screen of death. I've been here before.
Restart.
It was like a long blue screen of death. It took me an hour and a half to fix it. And
yikes.
I finally got it working at like 10. And she's like, I don't have it in me to watch. So I almost stayed up.
Yeah, yeah.
To say, what does episode 4 mean to me now?
Yeah.
After having just seen that.
Yeah.
Because I even wanted to like get data on that. I wanted to like go to a torrent site and see what the traffic was on episode 4 like yesterday.
Yeah.
Because I think it would have been interesting. Because a lot of people obviously had the same thought.
Yeah.
Because like when the movie ends, it's like the only thing you can think of is like, you should watch episode 4 now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure the thought crossed your mind.
It did. Yeah.
And I don't even know what the copy is I have. I don't even know if I've ever watched it. It's just a file on a computer.
Right.
So I don't know which version of Star Wars it is.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if it's like a, like what was, I mean, there's so many different versions that I don't know. Is it a Blu-ray original? Does such a version exist? Is the only version you can get as a torrent the one where all this shit's been added to it?
Right.
With Jabba the Hutt. That was put into Star Wars, yep, right? Oh, God damn. Yeah.
I thought that was great, though.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, like, that. I mean, just what an achievement. I mean, and you know, understand that, because, like, a lot of people's complaints about special editions from 97 when he added in all the CGI, like, he didn't just stop there. Like, he kept, like, the Blu-ray set that came out a few years ago, they added stuff then. They've been continually refining how good these scenes look. Like, Jabba looks, if you saw, you know, A New Hope special edition in 97 in theaters, and you watch the Blu-ray today, they look night and day. They look totally different, even though it's the same print, effectively. Like, Jabba looks way better now than he did when they first added him back in 97. So,
interesting.
Something to keep in mind.
Huh. So I would successfully guessed the first two, I think, in your order. Wait a minute.
Oh, yeah.
Episodes six, episode five.
Yep.
Number three.
Was Rogue. Yeah.
Number four is episode four. Episode seven?
Seven might get there. But, like,
is it three?
No, you know, I put one there for a bunch of reasons, but to explain it would take a while. But I mean, bottom line is that, like, episode one has made so many of the wonderful extraneous things that you see in the universe, in the Star Wars universe now, like, it was all introduced there, that I love what it brought to the table. You know, I recognize it's not the best story. I mean, the acting is great. Liam Neeson and Ewan McGregor are awesome, you know. But I really like the longevity of Star. So, okay, I'll try and make this really brief.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the movies for Star Wars are not what have allowed it to stand the test of time. The movies, what they really did was they showed off kind of like what Stephanie was saying earlier, where, like, there's all these aliens and you don't know who they are, and you don't know what any of the stuff that's going on. But that's the thing, is that then a bunch of writers licensed by Lucasfilm, you know, 20 years ago or however long ago, said, well, we're going to tell you what those stories are. And so they this universe allowed itself to get really fleshed out in a very big way. And so for me, like, because when Stephanie first didn't like these movies, I was like, wow, really? You know, I mean, and the thing was, I've heard people say they didn't like them, but I never believed them because I had no respect for them once they said they didn't like Star Wars. But, you know, Stephanie, obviously, I have tons of respect for her, mm-hmm. you know, all the respect in the world. And so I was like, wait a minute. So somebody that I know is intelligent actually didn't like Star Wars. What is behind this? And so the conversation was had. And, you know, and she actually convinced me. And I'm like, yeah, you know, like, there's these movies, especially today, just don't, like they're good. They're very good, but, like, they're not like at the level of which they get held up. And what I realized is that what was actually great for me about Star Wars was like everything outside of the movies, like, you know, the Thrawn trilogy from, you know, the Timothy Zahn wrote in the 90s and a lot of this stuff. That's what made Star Wars so great. And I remembered even, like, the night, you know, when we were going to, my buddies and I were going to see episode one, we were seniors in high school, and we didn't sleep the night before. The whole night we were just talking about stuff, but we weren't talking about, like, what happened in 4, 5, and 6. You know, the conversation could be over relatively quickly. We were talking about, are they going to include this from this book? Are they going to include this from this book? Are they going to include this from the RPG or from the video game or something like that? You know, it's this gigantic universe that you get to really explore if you want to take the time. You don't have to.
Yeah.
If you want to take the time. And so, but episode one, which you come to realize, and this is important, I think, to the conversation of what order do you watch them in. If you are going to go anywhere beyond the movies in your enjoyment of an imbibing of Star Wars, episode one becomes the single most important film in the entire saga, because it lays the groundwork for all the other storylines that you'll experience when you watch Clone Wars, when you watch Rebels, when you read some of the newer books, all of it, you know, and also it does, I think it actually does a great job of introducing Palpatine to the universe, which is really Palpatine, I think, and people don't realize this until they get into the larger universe of Star Wars, like reading the books, the comics and all that. He's really the guy that when something is really great, it's because he's involved. It's because he's in it. And so, yeah, episode one becomes very important to me. So I actually put that at number four.
Interesting.
A lot to unpack.
Yeah, definitely. But you're right. That's true, because that, like, if you watched Clone Wars
mm-hmm.
without seeing episode one, like, Clone Wars would be something that you could watch just as, like, I guess it's not canon, right? Clone Wars.
Well, it is now. It's still canon.
All right, but you wouldn't have to be like, you wouldn't have to pause and watch it then. It could just be like an extra enhancement.
Yeah, you could just watch it
later on.
Yeah, take it for what it is. But I mean, you know, here's one thing. Like, spoiler alert, Maul dies in episode one, but guess what? He's not dead. Like, he's still a huge deal. In fact, at the time of Rogue One, he's likely still alive. Or at least a couple years beforehand, he is, because he's in Rebels. He's in Star Wars Rebels, which takes place, which elements, actually, the ship from Rebels and even some of the characters from Rebels are in Rogue One. People might not have seen that.
Like, see, that's what I mean. It's so confusing. Like, people die, but they don't really die. Like, Brian, you were saying you expected that people would see the trailer for Rogue One and see Darth Vader's in it and say, oh, okay, it must be before Darth Vader dies.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I said, not necessarily, because people can come back.
Yeah, they don't do it too often. Not like in comic books, but I see your point. I get that people might not have been able to accept that.
Yeah. Wait a minute,
and that was a huge problem with Rogue One too. I mean, is that they refused to use the word prequel. And if they just used that, I don't think there would have been any confusion. Either put in the opening crawl or say the word prequel. That way people know this all takes place before. But they were terrified to do that, because you say prequel and Star Wars in the same sentence and, you know, people start, you know, defecating everywhere. So it's... So I get it. It's kind of a lose-lose situation for Disney. Like, how do we even, you know, put this out there? I mean, they have a Han Solo movie coming out in 2019, now that, or 2018. That's, or yeah, 2018. So
after Episode 8.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's going to be an easy sell, because you have a young guy playing Han Solo. Of course, this takes place, you know, before Episode 4. But like, this movie was a real challenge, I think, to market.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, Episode 1.
Oh, and the trailer was different from the movie, right? Were there scenes in the trailer that didn't appear in the movie?
Yeah, there were
a lot of them. Yeah, us as the average viewer of Rogue One ended up with a completely different film than what existed just like 4 months ago. There's tons of evidence for that. I mean, they brought in a new composer who only had 3 weeks to write the music for it. I mean, there's just tons and tons of crap. In fact, even
there's some conspiracies.
Well,
here.
I mean, but there's a lot of evidence. I mean, you have Felicity Jones, who played Jen Erso. She made 7 figures making this movie. She's the only actor in the entire film that made anything close to that. Why? Because I think she had to come back and remake pretty much the entire film with her parts, because she changed from the first trailer onward. And so I think she got paid double, you know, because she had to react to like a whole ton of crap. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of evidence to point to that. But anyway.
I'm wondering what was changed. So we talked about the Mary Sue thing before we started recording, that they wanted to maybe tone that down. Mm. Because it was too reminiscent of Episode 7.
Yeah, because in the first trailer, she was a total badass character. Like, she looked like she could take on anything. She didn't care who the Empire was, who the Rebellion was. And, you know, there's that one scene where she's staring down a TIE fighter.
Yeah, that was what I was just thinking. That was like the shot I was most looking forward to in the film. And I said, okay, here it comes, when they're on the tower, obviously. And it's not in the movie.
Yeah, now it is in the audio, or it is in the book. I already read the book, even though it doesn't come out for another 2 days. But I read the book, and that scene's still there. Supposedly they took it out just because they felt it was too repetitive, because an X-Wing just ends up blowing it up. And before that, during that whole battle scene, you have X-Wings blowing up TIE fighters everywhere. So that's Lucasfilm's claim, is that it was just too repetitive, so they took it out. But I don't know how I feel about that. Anyway.
Hmm. So anyway, just to... finish with your list there.
Yeah.
We made it to number 4 down, which is Episode 1.
Yep.
Number 5 would be Episode 4?
No.
Number 5 would be Episode 3.
Yes. Yeah. I'll just let's get to the cliffhanger. Episode 4 is at the bottom of the list. Like,
it's not a good movie.
No.
It's really not great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I mention you all the time, Brett, whenever I bring that up, because people think I'm nuts when I say it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not the only one that thinks that, look, this movie... I remember we were at Free Talk Live, you and I, and we even said to each other, you said, you know, if they ever wanted to do a remake of that, I'd be all right with it. And I said, yeah, I'd be all right with it too. They could remake, they don't need to do 5 and 6, but remake that thing, you know, in a heartbeat. And I'd say yes.
Yeah. It's like, what are your biggest problems with it?
Oh man. I mean, you know, the $10 million budget shows, not that effects need to be, you know, like high end or necessarily for me to love something. But the acting feels super stale, like almost all the way around. The story, I don't know, it all just seems like it lacks a depth that the rest of Star Wars has. Like, it really does.
I wonder if it's from having had the experience of kind of going behind the scenes. Like when they, I forget what it was, when they did the Star Wars universe, they made that documentary. And you can kind of see, like, hey, nobody knows what they're doing. Nobody knows what this is.
Doesn't surprise me at all.
And then, like, when you watch the movie after that, you can see. You can be like, oh, yeah, nobody knows
what's
happening.
Nobody does know what they're doing.
Right. Like, the actors don't know what the, like you can see it in their eyes.
Yeah.
Like when you're a kid, it's the greatest story.
Yep.
But as an adult, it's like, yeah, the performances, once you know what a clusterfuck it was,
yeah,
you can see it on their face. Like the actors, like,
yep. Do you guys remember, did you used to watch Muppets when you were a kid?
Oh, and yeah.
They would mix in scenes from Star Wars into the Muppet Babies and stuff.
Yeah.
I remember that so much. Like almost every Muppets had some scene from Star Wars mixed in.
Yeah. Kermit the Frog would be Luke Skywalker. And
yeah.
Fozzie would be
R2-D2 would be in there, and C-3PO, yep. And those woolly mammoth things that were riding through the cold planet with Luke on it.
Oh, the Tauntauns.
Tauntauns, yeah. Thanks. And those walkers, the Empire droid walkers.
Well, I mean, all on the Muppet Show?
Yeah. Maybe it wasn't the Muppet Show. It was the Muppet Babies, animated one. I mean,
there was a Muppet Show where they had Mark Hamill on. It was for Empire Strikes Back, and he had that whole uniform on, and
yeah,
Piggy was all over him, but
yeah,
but Muppet Baby. I mean, Jim Henson, like, there's a you know relationship there because Jim Henson made Yoda and all that. Which, by the way, Jim Henson Productions,
is he a Freemason?
I don't know about that. That's another story. But I was going to say Jim Henson Productions made Farscape, so you might enjoy that.
Oh,
when
cool.
We get to that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, a lot of puppetry.
Yeah,
in that one. So, all right, episode 6, 5. Rogue One.
One.
Episode 1. Episode 3.
Yep.
So then I guess it would be 2,
two
4.
And 4. Yeah.
Yeah.
Give me a ranking.
That's interesting. I would probably still have to say 6, 5. Wait, 7 wasn't on there.
Oh, right. Yeah, I think we were like, I was saying that 7 might take the place of 1.
You?
So yeah, 7 I would put that. I'd probably put that under 2.
Mine would be 6, 5, 7, Rogue One, 3, 4, 2, 1.
Yeah, that's fair.
You've opened my mind. 3, 4, 1, 2.
Oh yeah.
2 is shit.
Yeah, actually, there's a lot of you're right. A lot of people really hate 2.
But it's got some cool stuff in it too. Like I thought the whole dealing with the Clone Wars was kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so ham-fisted the whole way it was done, and
yeah.
It was just too much of a spectacle. And like that whole scene where they're trying to make it through the assembly plant and like.
Oh, that was dumb.
That was awful.
It was
so bad.
That's one of the rare places where on the DVD and Blu-ray releases, I'm 100% certain that they cut out scenes from that because they knew that it was just stupid.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So that's why I'm also in favor of fan edits, because there's parts of that story that like should be told,
mm-hmm.
but not the way they were told.
Yeah.
And if somebody is clever enough, you know, with Final Cut to deal with that, I'd be all in favor of that.
It's out there.
So as I did not invent the point of this whole conversation that has gone on longer than I expected, but maybe I should have expected this, was I do not have a workable new order because I don't want in the year 2016, I don't want episode 4 to be the first thing that somebody sees.
Yeah.
Because it's just frankly not impressive.
Yeah.
And I was even saying to Amy, I said, I really don't know what to do here because we're going to go and we're going to watch, you know, this new movie that, I'm sure it's on IMAX, shot on IMAX film, if not, you know, 72. And the sound is going to be amazing and the effects are going to be amazing and it's going to look like Star Wars. And then we're going to go home and watch a movie made in 1977 on a 42-inch TV with a Bluetooth speaker. You know,
yeah,
and we'll bring the Bluetooth speaker like right close to us, but it's not going to be as impressive, you know. And so is that whole thing just going to seem really underwhelming, or is Rogue One going to be so amazing that you're going to want to get through 4 for the story more than anything else? And it seemed like before the blue screen of death, that was actually what was on the way to happening.
Yeah.
So maybe tomorrow night we'll do that, you know. Maybe we'll do 4.
But you know what sucks? Like Vader sucks in 4. And like to go from what you get in Rogue One, I'll just try and leave that kind of open-ended. And then experience Vader in episode 4. Like,
yeah.
I just feel like that'd be so
painful.
That'd
be a downgrade in quality.
Yeah.
I mean, like this guy goes from, you know, his badass castle and I don't know. That, I just
Vader was awesome in Rogue One. That's true.
Yeah.
Well, you could the voice acting was it sounded like he was struggling a little bit.
Yep, I agree with that.
But that could they don't even need him anymore. They would just need him to like, hey, sign off on this, like we'll use your voice and we'll digitize it.
Yeah, and we'll pay your children into perpetuity.
Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty easy cadence, I think, to copy by a computer.
Yeah.
You know? And it's not like he needs to say too much. You know,
just lots of heavy breathing.
Yeah.
But if you made somebody sit and watch episodes 1, 2, and 3 and be like, now, are you fucking ready for the rematch lightsaber battle between Obi-Wan and Darth Vader?
This is so bad. Yeah.
Let's go to the drugstore and get some Depends first because you are going to shit. Like I almost feel like they should CGI re-edit that scene. Like it's completely discontinuous now.
Yeah, in episode 4, the battle between Obi-Wan and Vader. Yeah.
But it's also the climax of that movie, pretty much, or of that storyline in that movie. Because there's multiple storylines kind of coming to an end there. But that is like, you know, we meet again. But now we're very old, you know?
And we're not on a lava planet.
And we have no force. And when you hit our sticks together, you can see dust come off them. So
I would say, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm boring, but I just have so much trouble following it that I would, if I were seeing it for the first time, I would want to watch it in chronological order, knowing that 1, 2, and 3 might not be the best, because after 3, you get the payoff of Rogue One. That's better.
Yeah.
And then 4, 5, and 6. And if you can get through 4, then you get the good 5 and 6. And then 7 is pretty good.
So it's almost like kind of like watching it is a hero's journey of your own, right?
You have to get through the shit.
You watch episode 1. You're like somebody, Brian comes to you and he says, come with me on a dangerous and interesting journey that's new. And then he goes, here, we start here with episode 1. And you go, no, I don't want to go. Why would I do that? No. Right? And so it is. It's the hero's journey. The wise man comes to take the young uninitiated on an adventure. And then it sucks.
And they're kicking and screaming for the first 3 episodes.
And it sucks a little more. And you get a little further.
And they're like, when is it going to stop sucking?
Maybe I'm learning something. And there's some light at that. Maybe this is actually going somewhere. I really wanted one of these new movies to open just with the planet, like the opening scene is just those whatever Jar Jar is. What is his?
Gungan.
Naboo. And then it just like zooms out to the whole planet and the Death Star is there. It's like, fire when ready. And it's just like, I just thought that would have been kind of like, I don't know, a symbolic changing of the guard type gesture.
It'd be like, all right, we're going to make this right. Here's our restitution. We'll blow up Naboo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, is that Naboo is their planet?
Yes, they coexist with the humans on there.
Were you going to say something? Sorry.
No, I was just thinking maybe that could be episode 0, but then you have to have Jar Jar in episode 1. So how did he get there? Maybe he escapes on some kind of a spaceship or something.
Well, you know, here's the thing, is I think very soon there's going to be, first off, Rogue One, clearly, like, this is a movie that I think explicitly was supposed to answer questions. Instead, it just created a ton more with Jeddah and all this different stuff. Like, you know, there's something important here. And I think that this movie is going to, in like 5 to 10 years, this movie is going to make a lot more sense for everybody. Like, because there's going to be a lot of things in it that I think they know they want to make movies out of.
Do you hear what you're saying, though?
Of course.
Like, most of the time, like when I watch a movie, I don't want to have to wait 5 to 10 years for it to make sense. I want to understand it.
Right. But this is a long game, you know? I mean, they're thinking, okay, look, Star Wars sells for decades, and it does. And so Disney's thinking, all right, in 30 years, are we going to have something just as precious and as money-making?
But people have such short attention spans. Don't you think they'll
not for this?
Yeah. I mean,
this is something else.
But why? That's so random. Like, why do they have a short attention span for everything except Star Wars?
Because this appeals to the base, the hero's journey. It appeals to some of the most base instincts and base stories that humanity's ever told about itself. And so, like, that's part of its magic. That's what keeps it holding. So I think that time will come, Brett, where you have that great movie, you know, to show off first. But it is not Rogue One. It's certainly not episode 4, and it shouldn't really be episode 1 either.
Right.
But
so there's no way to start the journey.
Well, I
except to be dragged kicking and screaming by an old man.
I have a solution. I have, and it doesn't take long to explain. And the solution is that if somebody, and some people are kind of doing this, but if somebody took the great episodes of Clone Wars, as well as the great episodes of Rebels, because those take place before Rogue One, if somebody just took those and made a mashup of those great episodes, and there are some real doozies, especially when you get in the later seasons of Clone Wars, I think people could be far more invested in the characters of the prequel trilogy to where they could get through episode one and two and survive through to three. And then Rebels, with its great episodes, could entice just enough to where people could understand what's going on in Rogue One and then move on to four, five, and six.
I wonder what kind of assumption there was that, I mean, you want a movie that's appealing to the you in the audience.
Yep.
But you want a movie that's like literate and, you know, under completely comprehensible to the Stephanie or the Amy in the audience.
Women.
Well, I thought, look, it'll be a cool movie with a neat story about, you know, a brave heroine who's on an important mission. And, you know, like, even though, like, Amy has never sat and watched one of the movies from beginning to end, but she's like, I live in this country and speak English. Like, I kind of know what the story is.
Yeah.
You know, like, I know.
Everybody says, I am your father. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
And they're still talking about a guy that kissed his sister.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, I've got 34 years into this, you know, like I'm here.
It's a big investment.
Yeah. I have. I almost changed my profile picture today to like or yesterday right before I went to see it. The last time I was this excited about Star Wars.
We got to see this picture.
This might take me a minute to find. Now I have to edit. I don't even know where this picture is going to be. Oh, there it is. How sweet.
Man.
Oh, look at that.
Man.
That was me in 1983.
Yeah.
So I was like, look at this. Look at this guy. I couldn't
look
believe
on your
it.
Face. Like, you still make that face, Brett, sometimes when you're really excited about something.
Now, why was this safe to bring this, you know, Dark Lord of the Sith to 4 or 5 year old's birthday party? Well, this was right after Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Where he was, you find out, can we spoil. Yeah. He was good.
Yeah.
He had good in him.
Yeah.
He had good in him. So when that's inside that suit was my mom's friend Elaine, but she has good in her too. She has good in her too.
It's awesome. It's a woman. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I should, can I, throw that up for people to see? People who are watching us live, bear with me one second. I'm still learning our controls.
Hello, live listeners.
It would be great if people would chat too. I see a couple people have made comments, but you know, go ahead and get to know each other. We're going to be here for a while.
Yeah.
So we got more content to do. We're going to take a quick break. Is there any closing thoughts on the Star Wars thing? I mean, I think.
We ran a pretty long gamut.
So we don't have an order yet, but someday there will be a new order.
Yeah. In 5 years, there's going to be a great order to watch these things in.
Mm-hmm. And I hope they'll rework Rogue One a little bit, just like the beginning, maybe.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind.
Maybe they'll start releasing some of that unreleased stuff.
Yeah, give another cut. Alternative cuts are all the rage today. I'd like to see one of this.
Indeed. So that was a movie review.
Life review.
Yeah. All right, everyone. We're going to take a quick break. If you're watching us live, invite your friends and get to know each other in the chat. And feel free to drop some topics that you want us to talk about.
Smoke if you got them.
All right. We'll be right back.
And now, back to 2012.
Facebook is a real crapshoot. In fact, it's not even a crapshoot. I just assume that whatever is going to be posted on Facebook is going to be some form of bullshit or other.
It's so negative.
It really is. Nobody has anything positive to say about anything anymore. You can't even like something without hating something else. Like, you know, people just love hating things. Like, when you read a review of a movie review, if it's a negative review, it's not just like, it's not a critique of the film. It's just snark about how terrible it was. And it's just so cool to be too cynical to like stuff.
Brett likes Scott Walker is a douchebag. Brett likes New Jersey teachers against Chris Christie.
You're right. Oh, man.
I like liking things.
Yeah, I do. I like it. It's better than disliking things.
It really is more fun.
I dislike not liking things.
Right. I'm disappointed when I don't like something. Like, I really wanted to like that.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
That happens to me a lot with people.
But then some people take that too far. They get really offended when they don't like something. Science fiction nerds are especially terrible about this. Like, if a new science fiction show comes on TV and it's not that great, they get so mad. Like, you know, why can't you just not like it? Like, people spend more time talking about things they hate than about things they like.
It's true. An upcoming debacle in 2015 is going to be the Star Wars Episode 7, I'm sure. I'm not sure. I don't know. I really don't know.
I think if Lucas
can't get worse.
If Lucas is not in charge, it could be good. The less Lucas is involved in a Star Wars property, the better it is these days. Sad to say. Because in the early days in the original trilogy, like, he didn't have clout, you know? He was just this kooky kid who had this crazy idea for a movie, and he had to take other people's input because he couldn't afford it himself. Comes the second trilogy, the prequel trilogy, he has more money than Jesus, and he funded the films completely himself, so nobody else had any input. If you watch any of, like, the behind-the-scenes documentaries,
yeah,
where he's, like, spitballing and talking about, like, his ideas for the story, it's just a bunch of guys standing around going, that's great, that's wonderful. And you could see in their eyes, like, this is the stupidest idea I've ever heard, but nobody would say it. And
right.
That's why those movies sucked. They were they were objectively poor movies. They were objectively bad.
Oh, yeah.
And I would defend that. I could, Red Letter Media. Red Letter Media is the, I mean, you know, he does kooky, weird, serial killer character stuff, but his critique of the why those films are objectively bad is perfect.
Oh, they're bad. Yeah, in anything that would make a movie good, from dialogue to character development to anything,
right,
is completely absent in those films.
But then you have something like the Clone Wars television series, the CG animated series that's on TV, actually pretty good.
And Lucas is not involved in that?
He's involved as, like, an executive producer, but he's not writing scripts. He's not, you know. They tackle a lot of really interesting, weighty issues that I would have liked to see come up in the movies.
Yeah.
You know, so, I think this, the other thing I'm worried about coming up soon is the Justice League movie. Their DC Comics is now, you know, they got, Marvel had their thing where they built up to the Avengers movie and then had the Avengers, and it was like the biggest hit ever. So DC's going to do the same thing in reverse. They're going to do a Justice League movie, and then they're going to spin off all the individual characters into their own new franchises. There's going to be a whole new Superman, a whole new Batman series, and all the other characters from Justice League. But they're doing the big team-up movie first and then giving everybody their own movies.
I haven't heard of this. When is it coming out?
I think their target date is 2015. I think they're planning to have it come out at the same time as the Avengers 2.
Wow.
Yeah. So I could talk about movies all day.
There's a lot on the line. What should be the plot for episode 7? We'll end with this, and we'll wrap up.
Should it be a sequel?
It will be a sequel.
It will be a sequel. It'll take place after Return of the Jedi.
So Lucas envisioned this as 4 trilogies originally.
Yeah.
And there's actually, Mark Hamill claims that in 1976, Lucas told him that they would shoot episode 7 in 2001, and he could have a cameo in it.
Hey.
According to Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill does not look anything like Luke Skywalker anymore.
No.
Like, he doesn't even look like an older version of Luke Skywalker. He just looks like a totally different dude. And I think Mark Hamill is great. He's been very low-key in his career, but...
His voice on the Joker.
Yeah. He, like, defined the Joker for a generation by doing the voice of him in the Batman animated series.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant. And it was brilliant. Brilliant.
So he's, I mean, what do you think he is? He's probably 50-something?
Well, I don't know how old he was when he made Star Wars. He couldn't have been older than 20 to 25. 5 tops. He was young. And that was 1976 they started filming.
I'm betting he's pushing 60.
He's got to be.
He's 61.
Yeah.
So in Star Wars, he was 20, probably 25 when they were filming. Let's see how he looks. Doing a Google image search.
He doesn't look bad. He just doesn't look like the same dude.
He doesn't look good. He looked good. When was this? This looks like it was about...
Well, he got all fucked up in that accident.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, there was that.
What was the accident?
Yeah, some kind of car crash or something. His face got all fucked up.
He doesn't look too bad.
Not as bad. He doesn't look as bad as Mickey Rourke. Poor Mickey Rourke.
What? Did he get in some...
He had a botched plastic surgery. That's why he looks like what he looks like now.
Mm-hmm.
He was like one of the most handsome dudes in Hollywood, and apparently he wasn't handsome enough, so he caved into the pressure to get plastic surgery, and it went totally wrong. And now he looks, now he's the guy you hire when you want a villain that looks weird, but you don't want to put makeup on the guy.
Yeah. And he does look kind of weird, doesn't he?
Mickey Rourke?
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. Poor guy. Hey, he's making it work, and good for him.
Oh, dang, he was handsome. Dang. This looks like 9.5 weeks.
Luckily for him, he's a fantastic actor, I think.
He doesn't look too bad in some of these pictures. He does. It looks like something happened with his cheekbones. Cheeks. Get a mustache here.
A mustache?
Yep. Speaking of mustaches, are you growing a beard?
Yeah, I'm going to grow a beard.
That's awesome.
I don't know.
Sweet.
It seems kind of stupid so far.
But evidently, there's this, I don't know if you've seen this, but they're referring to November as Movember.
Right.
And people are supposed to grow mustaches.
And there's a reason for it.
I've never heard what. Oh, yeah, it's some kind of cause. It's like testicular cancer or some shit.
It's also National Novel Writing Month. Started today. 50,000 words starting today by the end of November.
Wow.
NaNoWriMo, they call it. National Novel Writing Month.
Imagine if Mark Twain was alive.
He would be like, 50,000 words in a month? Y'all are pussies.
And that's what he would look say. At my mustache, he would say.
Yeah.
He'd be set. Who else? Vonnegut? Did he have a beard? I think he just had a mustache.
No, he had a mustache. Just a mustache. At least he did when he had his cameo in Back to School.
Yeah.
When Rodney Dangerfield hired him to write a paper.
All right. I'm back in the chat. If anyone has anything they want to add or have me say on the show. And at this point, anything you type into the chat, I will say on the show. Try me. Try me. Try me. So plot of episode 7.
Yeah. I don't know.
Here's the cast. Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie
Fisher.
Carrie Fisher.
See, the thing is now you can't take over right at the end of Return of the Jedi now, because if you want to use those actors, because they obviously are 30 years old, 40, no. 50, 40 years older.
I want them to go to Earth, like in Star Trek 4, but they're not from Earth.
No, I think this is a terrible idea. It's going to be like Galactica 1980.
Take some Ewoks with them?
What's Galactica 1980?
It was the sequel series to the original Battlestar Galactica.
I don't need to know anymore.
It's horrible.
Okay.
It was terrible.
It starts out and it's kind of like a Golden Girls situation, I think would be good, right? Where they live together and they have antics, you know, they have like fun. Like it's kind of like Golden Girls meets Star Wars Christmas kind of thing. But then they go on a space cruise, like for, you know, like old people.
Right.
And they go to Earth. But when would they show up on Earth? When would it be when they got there?
I think it would be sometime in the past. And I think what will happen is take a shore excursion to Earth, and Han and Chewie will crash in the Pacific Northwest somewhere. And Han will be killed in the crash, and Chewbacca will be forced to eke out a living in the forest of the Pacific Northwest. And somebody will spot him with their home movie camera at some point, and that will be why people think there is such a thing as Bigfoot.
But they will come to Earth for the 2012 election, and Barack Obama will be played by Billy Dee Williams.
Whoa.
This deal keeps getting worse all the time.
Wait, no, Lando. You'd have to use Billy Dee Williams for Lando because he was still alive at the end. Very heroic mission on the Death Star there in Return of the Jedi. Okay, so they. Hold on. I just got a text here. Text me. She said, "This is a really good episode, and I love all the new bumper music."
Wow.
That makes me feel great because I thought we did. I thought I did shitty. I think you guys actually were both very good. But the job of organizing the show was up to me, and we kind of had a debacle with the bumper music because I couldn't communicate with Ian. Oh, well, you know.
The bumper music turned out great. It was a nice mix of the old and the new, the familiar and the excitingly non-familiar.
Yeah, but I didn't. I need to have it all set up. Like the goal was all the intros would be different stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
But all the outros would be Led Zeppelin, like the most rockingest parts of Led Zeppelin songs, where they would start quiet and then just fucking rock, you know? Mm. Like here's an example. Like let me show you what it would be like if everything had gone well tonight, and then we'll get right back to our Star Wars conversation. All right, so we're on our way out of a segment, and you know I'm just kind of talking,
right? We're riffing.
Yeah, we're going back and forth, and then I say something like, you know, this is School Sucks Podcast, and we will be right back. Give us a call at 843 join SSP.
Or Skype in.
But Ian said we couldn't use these because they have singing in them.
I don't think he understands.
All right, let's try another one. This is one of my favorite Led Zeppelin songs. And I actually had to edit this one to go from this quiet guitar music to the part where they rock. Even though this is pretty rocking right here. Mm-hmm. Like, this is played on a 12 string. And then right when it...
That's more strings than usual.
Yeah. So they always have these quiet parts, and then we would, when we're done talking, they rock.
Cool.
So I set them all to rock at about, let's try one more. No, that one doesn't. They all rock at about 20 seconds. All
right, so we have to just riff for 20 seconds.
So I don't really think this is vocals. I don't think that this is a problem to talk over this.
No.
Right? Because it's sort of like
going. It sounds like the guy from Police Academy pretending to be a guitar.
Yeah. Hey, everybody, this is Cool Sucks. We'll be right back.
Now everybody walked away because they thought we really were going away.
Oh, well. I didn't even use all the clips. Man, you know, I put a lot of time into this show.
And yet the one person who commented on the new bumper music really liked it.
Yeah.
So there you have that.
That's good. Here's a little screenshot. It says, help SSP and get bonus content. Most people don't get to hear, you know, everything we do by watching Ustream. So you can become a subscriber. That's something I really want to push. We just hit 100 people.
Hey.
We need 200 people.
200. All right, all you people who subscribed, do it again.
No, don't do that. Thank you, everyone. If anyone, I'm sure maybe there's probably a little bit of crossover between people who are still up listening to us ramble at this time and people who think that this show is valuable enough to send $6 or $9 every month. So, all right, so Golden Girls style antics, they go to Earth.
Okay.
It is old dynasty, Egypt.
Wow, okay. This is a bold idea.
The Egyptians are just... clowns. They can't do anything.
Like the Keystone
Cops. They just push dirt into piles.
Right.
Right. They need precious metals to fix their ships.
Okay.
Han and Chewie, you know. So they have a list of, you know, elements that are just ubiquitous in the universe. Or, you know, well, not ubiquitous, but common. Not common, but everywhere in the universe. Like, you would think certain elements, the things that are on the periodic table,
right,
are all over the universe.
Gotcha.
Okay. And there might be more, right?
Right. There could be.
Okay. But they need gold for their wiring.
Okay.
On the ships.
Right.
So they say, these humans are the dumbest pieces of shit. What if we genetically engineer them to make them, because they look like us, but they're dumb as shit, right? They just bump into each other and push dirt into piles. Like, they make little piles of, like, pyramid.
Right.
But they're little.
They got an idea.
They're, like, only 3 feet high. They're imitating anthills.
Right.
They say, oh, I want to push dirt together like the anthills do. Right. So they make, like, an anthill that's 3 feet high just by pushing dirt together.
Okay.
So they genetically engineer... the Mesopotamians, maybe.
Han and Chewie know how to do that sort of thing?
No. They have... Who would they have with them? So it's Lando, Han, Chewie, Luke, and Leia.
How is this a Golden Girls situation?
Because they have antics.
Because they're all old and they have antics?
They're old and they have antics. I mean, isn't that pretty much how you would sum up the Golden Girls, you know?
I guess.
Okay. So on Earth, they say... someone says, if they travel through time, that would explain the aging. The plucky guitar track is my favorite. That song's called Tangerine by Led Zeppelin. It's a beautiful song. I'll play it on the guitar during the next after show, poorly. I'm just saying, if they could travel, I'm just trying to see if anyone, no one else has anything to say about the Star Wars thing. All right, so who...
Should we take that as a sign?
No, I think they're listening.
Oh, okay. Nothing to contribute.
No.
But they're listening.
So they genetically engineer all human beings into what we are today, which is what's so similar to them. They give us their language.
Which is why we can understand them when we watch the Star Wars movie.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yes. And they have the Egyptians mine gold for them.
Right.
Then, as a reward, they use their technology to say, do you want us to push a bunch of rocks and dirt into a really big pile for you? And they build the Pyramid of Khafu.
So these ancient Egyptians are really kind of like, who are these guys? The Gammas?
They're like
in Brave New World?
No, they're like the Jack Officers in South Park. They're just fucking retards. Right? They're just bumping into each other and knocking shit over and pushing dirt into piles.
It just made me think of the Gammas from Brave New World, the guys who would, like, they would be an elevator operator, but they were, like, genetically engineered and conditioned to get, like, super excited whenever someone wanted to go to the roof. It's like what they lived for. So every time someone got in the elevator and said roof, they'd get all excited, like, roof, roof! And they'd go up, and then they'd wander around on the roof for a while. And the Egyptians are the same way with their piles of dirt.
Yeah.
Like, they're just so jazzed about, like, a triangular pile of dirt that's the best thing the Star Wars crew could offer them, is a giant dirt pile.
Well, one thing is that they do one pyramid for them before the genetic modifications, and they all just shit themselves and run around and bump into each other and slip on shit and... It's so mad. So then they genetically engineer them as gold miners. So they have the intelligence and the focus to mine gold. They have to go deep into the earth.
Right.
You know, to mine gold.
Mm-hmm.
Then human history plays out. The Egyptians speak English.
And they do in all the movies I've seen.
Yeah.
So there's no other reason to believe anything other than that might be the fact.
All right, one more thing, and then something, and then we'll finish. One more totally different plot line for this movie. You know, no. I want to generate ideas from you.
Oh,
The reason why I don't want to stop the show is because I have to clean everything up.
It's very
so you guys
honest.
If you guys want to go home, like maybe I'll just sit here and talk for a while. I don't even know if anyone's listening.
I'm. Oh yeah.
Oh, Giorgio Tsoukalos gets a mention. Yeah, the whole plot of the Star Wars movie I just mentioned was from Ancient Aliens on the History Channel. That is all stuff that Giorgio, the It Was Aliens guy,
right.
From that meme, that's what he believes, except it's not Han and Chewie.
Really?
Yeah. Somebody says, I'll take the veggie tray if you're done. Luke constructs the pyramids using the Force. Fucking duh.
Of course.
Who said that? James. Thank you, James. Totally. Can you imagine how
he can make dirt piles and he doesn't even have to push the dirt?
Yeah.
He just says, dirt pile, go, and it happens.
Yeah, like the Ewoks, when he says, tell them you'll use your magic.
Right.
You become angry and use your magic, and then C-3PO starts, yeah. But with Egyptians, same kind of thing.
Hey. Except the Egyptians, as you described them, are even stupider than Ewoks.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. But not stupider than Jar Jar Binks.
The chat keeps jumping back. Someone says, play the song. What song? Pat Fab, what song? And then we'll end that way. It's 1:20, you know?
I'm pretty exhausted.
I wish the show wasn't at 10, and I wish it wasn't on LRN. And do what?
Do it at a different time.
Why? Yeah, this hasn't done any of the things. Osborne, if you couldn't hear him on the mic, he was saying that he was talking about Gardner's show, and Gardner wasn't crazy about the live format because it's not really conducive to his style, taking breaks every 10 minutes when the man could talk, you know, with substance for an hour straight, at least, about, you know, a lot of things. And you know, it's true. I this show hasn't accomplished my goals. You know, I mean, we've gotten maybe 25 new subscribers since we started doing it in May. It's cost over $1,500, constantly buying new webcams. I'm paying Dale to use the studio. I agree. Yeah. And I really
more webcams.
Where do you keep all those webcams?
I don't even know where most of them are anymore. Like, you know, the best one that we have, the most reliable one we have, is a Logitech 310, which costs $30. Mm. And it's an HD. It's like a 4-megapixel 720 cam. This was $100. The one sitting on the table somewhere or in a box was like $50. And they don't even work. I mean, my camera, I don't know if the lighting is not good in here or what, but I don't even look like I'm really in focus.
Let's screw this live show and let's record a show with real cameras and edit stuff together. Yeah.
In this room?
With a news desk.
Yeah.
And everything.
This is a news desk. This desk could be used for anything.
We'll put a green screen behind you, and then we can mat in whatever we want.
How much do you think a green screen costs?
You go to
nothing.
Nothing. I have... You go to a fabric store, you buy a few yards of green fabric. That's what a green screen costs.
Yeah.
I actually already have one.
But then you need a program that can do chroma key, right?
You have one.
What?
Anything will
do that. Studio does. What are you using? Vegas. That does chroma key, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't
if
know.
Not, I have programs that do chroma key. It's not hard to come. Windows Movie Maker does chroma key.
Somebody says, I like the old podcasts. Hold on a second. At fam. I like to play the guitar. I like to play the guitar and sing.
I like turtles.
I like, Half Fam says, I like the old podcasts. You know, I do too.
Yeah.
But we needed to do something fresh. We needed to do something different to keep the show interesting, and most importantly, to keep me interested in doing it. And, you know, I really thought by having all this video content and putting it on YouTube that it would increase our listener base.
Well, we can still make video content.
Well, I thought that putting together a conglomeration of shows to all run at this time slot throughout the week would be like everybody could feed off of each other's listeners. You know, the Gardener, the Flaming Freedom, the Pork Therapy, School Suck.
Like LRN, you mean?
Yeah. But I don't really see that.
Well, I mean,
especially like coming right after Free Talk Live, which is a deal.
Yeah. Well, my listenership is higher than it's ever been. I mean, I have more listeners now than I've ever had. But they're to the podcast. The Derek J Show did almost 30,000 downloads.
Mm.
So, I mean, we're doing good for a podcast. We do more podcast downloads than Free Talk Live does.
Right.
But I'd like more success. I'd like more success, he says.
I think I know the formula.
Is to do a show where you teach people how to go about replacing the role that school plays.
I think that that's something that we do a lot. That, what do you think the content for that show would be?
I don't know. I don't know exactly. But that's what would get you on a speaking tour. That people would bring you from around the country to come talk to them about what they should do.
And then you'd do a TED Talk.
Yeah. No, I think that would be great. I think I need to get a lot more comfortable with speaking. I've only given like two or three speeches in my life. I tried to give a speech at UConn once, but it got totally derailed by socialists.
Nice.
Well, no, I started, it was like a real basic, like, let's lay out the principles of voluntarianism, talk about the non-aggression principle. And as these people in the audience are slowly realizing, like, wait a minute, where does the state fit into all of this? The hands start going up in the crowd, like 5 to 10 minutes into the speech. And it turned into like a Q&A. It was good. It was good. Now, they had some example of like, would the initiation of force be justified if Bechtel took over some Honduran village and the people were being starved by Bechtel's presence there? Would it be okay for the natives to kill Bechtel employees?
That's not the initiation.
Well, yeah, it is, because I hope the way I answered it, I'd have to go back and listen to the episode, but like Bechtel is a collective, so you can't kill an individual because they work for a collective. Fallacy of division.
Well, that's the thing. What the hell is Bechtel anyway? Sorry.
Bechtel is a Honduran villain. He's got a mustache.
I think he was more like Chupacabra.
Hey, he's like the black hand in the Godfather Part Two. Oh man, Bechtel is a defense contractor.
They're like
Halliburton. It's a company like Halliburton. So they have any place where shit gets destroyed, Bechtel makes money.
Oh yeah,
story time. Someone says. All right, I hate to do this, but I'm gonna get out of here. Does anyone have any closing thoughts in the chat? You know what should motivate you? You have saved my two kids from the evils of public school, someone says. Yeah, that does it. Thank you very much, Hat Fam. All right, I quit.
My work here is done.
Oh, finally, geez. Don't have to deal with the Ustream anymore.
When we open up our own school, what do we name it? Suck School? The Unschool?
It should have the phrase, kids who can't read good in it. All right, we're done. Thank you very much for listening. I'll keep the chat open, and all I'm going to do is stop the recording. I'll keep the stream open while I clean up so I can look at the chat. And I don't have any music to play, so I'll leave the mics open. But this is the end of the actual show, so you should have no expectations from this point on. Good night. I've attached a cam to my shirt so you can see what I do. Hey, folks, before we wrap up, all this talk of new bonus shows and this experience of listening to old bonus shows, if that helps motivate you to support School Sucks, first of all, that's really great. It is that support that allows me to do this as my primary source of income and produce all of the higher value content that is free for everybody for years. And I talked about the two ways of doing this. We have Patreon and we have the AV Club. And one of the questions that I get from people in the AV Club is, do you want me to cancel that and switch to Patreon? I absolutely do not want you to do that. I'm really excited about our Patreon growth over the last year and a half. It is a very, very central reason why I am still able to do this as my job, because during that time, the AV Club support has decreased. But if it were up to me, I would say, please do not cancel. There's also a bit of nervousness around Patreon because it is third party. And if things keep going as they have been going, I do worry about the possibility of losing the Patreon platform someday. So I do not want all of my eggs in that basket. It's an easier way to support the show because it's all automated and you get immediate access to all the bonus content we've done since we started using Patreon. But the people who support us through the AV Club, that provides me a real sense of security, because the only variable there is PayPal, and I've decided that that's a manageable risk for me. So schoolsucksproject.com/AV, and if you support us that way, you get access to bonus content we did all the way back to like 2010, 2011. Since we started doing bonus content, you'll be able to access a lot of it at the first level, most of it at the second level, and all of it at the third level. So it's $8, $12, and $16 a month.
And I just wanted to take a couple of minutes to talk about that, because I do get that question pretty frequently. Should I cancel AV and switch to Patreon? And sometimes people just do it. Please, let's keep the AV club going. Like I said, it's really, really important to the security and the stability of this whole operation. So I just wanted to put that on the record. And again, it's schoolsucksproject.com/AV. And thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this show. And thank you to all of you who make it possible with your support.